Welcome to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz Radio Show. I'm Michael Shaw, and I'm going to be your host tonight, and this is a show I'm much looking forward to. We'll have two different segments these 2 hours. The first segment will be with Dr. Stephen Baskerville, who's a professor of political science at Howard University, who will talk to us about the question of, is there really a fatherhood crisis? Of course, this issue cuts right to the core of the question of family autonomy and what the status of the family unit is in America today. And then in the second hour, we're going to talk about regulation and junk science, a formulation for disaster in the Santa Cruz Mountains Redwood Forests. And we'll find, I think, by the end of these 2 hours that that there's quite a sharing of philosophy that are behind these two problems looming in the American landscape. Well, Santa Cruz residents certainly face the sustainable development onslaught on many fronts, but so does America. Here at Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, we're here to help report on this alarming pattern and show how the programs like the ones in Santa Cruz threaten to change the structure and purpose of American government and adversely affect nearly every aspect of our daily lives. If you're in Santa Cruz, you need to know, and if you're outside Santa Cruz, you need to learn how to identify the patterns of localized attacks on private property and family autonomy. These are questions that are now faced by all American communities. Each of us needs to come to understand that we need to protect and defend liberty everywhere by promoting equal justice and the constitutional administration of government. You know, the question that is really core and center to the issues of today are really quite basic. It involves the question of what is the nature of government. And when you think through all the political science books, you can come but to really two premises for the establishment of government. One such premise is that government exists for the purpose of protecting an individual's unalienable rights. And the other premise is that government exists to control human action. Well, here in Santa Cruz and across the country, we're starting to see that there's a coup in place on the American Constitution because new systems of government, economics, and justice are being established. In the context of a new system of government, a primary tool in the implementation of sustainable development is the use of what's called facilitated, that means prearranged, indoctrination. Stakeholder, that means that nobody owns anything and everybody owns everything. Consensus, that means nobody believes in everything, but everybody agrees in what they're supposed to agree into. Councils. Now, these councils claim public involvement while adapting prearranged regulatory regimes that are directed by senior or apex councils. These are agencies or unelected regional governmental authorities. The purposes of these councils is to subvert the constitutional administration of government by ignoring political boundaries, undermining representative democracy, and erasing the separation of powers between branches and levels of government by avoiding the principles of equal justice. A new system of economics is also being arranged for the American society. You see, sustainable development's economic system calls for government-corporate partnerships to replace free enterprise. Government-private partnerships, of course, are not a new idea. The European Axis powers of the 20th century operated pursuant to this idea. You see, free enterprise derives from private action that secures individual liberty. Government-private partnerships operate under the centralized regulatory authority and implement a system of favored privilege. Large-scale and corruption follow once the checks and balances that are inherent to a system of private property vanish. Well, a new system of justice is also happening. We're going to hear about a lot of that tonight in our segment on the crisis of fatherhood, the very important and critical issue to the matter of family autonomy. Because you see, justice is no longer being applied equally. And we'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
policies, procedures, and laws enacted by local government and non-government organizations in the name of diversity, community, and Earth are diminishing individual liberty, degrading ecology, and threatening human life and happiness in towns across the nation. You've likely already experienced some of the consequences of policies that are approaching full implementation, with little public discourse or voter input. Have you experienced any of the following? Restricted freedom of mobility as you sit for hours in gridlock traffic. Mounting limitations on, or even loss of, your private property. An engineered housing crisis that you're being told must be solved with your money by those who caused it. Loss of parental authority to a government education system that seems to emphasize social indoctrination over education. Transitioning of water resources to regional control by non-elected bureaucrats with subsequent engineered shortages. Heavy influence of international and non-government organizations over local policy at the expense of representative democracy. You're not alone in recognizing these and other symptoms of our diminishing freedoms. The adverse consequences of collectivist policies and laws enacted by local government bodies are affecting almost every citizen in your town. Many have noticed and are ready to act to advance individual liberty, family autonomy, a vibrant ecology, and a strong economy. They're doing this by turning their individual initiative into local action for national impact. To find out how you can join others to advance freedom, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. That's freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232. The views expressed on tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show are the opinions of neither this station nor its sponsors. In fact, they're not necessarily the opinions of Radio Liberty or of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. The views expressed by the host are those of the host. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests are theirs. Whether you agree or disagree, please join in. To participate, you can call during caller segments at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Or you can go to our online audience participation center at www.freedom21santacruz.net/radio. That's freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Now let's start advancing freedom.
Well, welcome back. Here we are. I'm going to get that music timing right sooner or later. Welcome back to the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show at Radio Liberty. We're here about to introduce our special guest, Dr. Stephen Baskerville. Now, Dr. Baskerville gets to the root of what I'll call a tyranny that the family court system has become. Here we can understand how government intervention into family autonomy is bringing tremendous harm to children, fathers, families, mothers, and society. You know, men and women, moms and dads, know the truth. The crisis that we find as a result of our family court litigation is a problem with government policy. You know, I don't want to jump in too quickly here, but I think we can all readily recognize there's no crisis in the spirit of fatherhood, because that's a spirit that reigns eternally within the nature of human beings. Now, Dr. Stephen Baskerville holds a PhD from the London School of Economics and teaches political science at Howard University in Washington, D.C. Recently, he became president of the American Coalition for Fathers and Children. His writings on these issues have appeared in leading national and international publications, including the Washington Post and Washington Times, The Independent Review, which is where I found his most recent article, quite an amazing one. You can find that at the Independent Institute in Oakland, California. Women's Quarterly, Catholic World Report, Crisis Magazine, Insight Magazine, Family Policy, American Spectator, Liberty Magazine, LouRockwell.com, and more. He's an advisor to the, he's the president now of the American Coalition for Fathers and Children. And he's a spokesman for Men, Fathers, and Children International, a coalition of 12 fatherhood organizations. And he's been quite active and profound in this subject. Stephen, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, it's nice to have you. You're calling from back east, so it's a little later there than here. We still have a little bit of light in the sky, and a beautiful sky it is tonight here at Monterey Bay on the central coast of California. Good evening.
Good evening. It's good to be here.
Well, what we want to talk about is the subject that you are quite a leading authority on, and you've entitled your most recent research document, Is There a Fatherhood Crisis? I may have jumped the gun a little bit, but let's hear your considered word on that subject.
Well, it's a rhetorical question. Of course, there is a fatherhood crisis, and it's widely recognized for about 10 years now. Groups and governments have been calling attention to this problem, and they're quite right to do so. The breakdown of the family is often first most acutely felt by children as the loss of their fathers. The fatherhood advocates, the current Assistant Secretary of State Wade Horn and David Blankenhorn and other scholars and experts in this field have been warning now that fatherlessness, father absence, is connected with virtually every major social problem in this country. Violent crime, drug abuse, psychological problems like suicide, truancy, you name it. Ask any police officer and they will tell you the single biggest predictor of a teenager's criminality is the loss of a father. This is now well known, and it's very good that these advocates have put this forth. What they have not been so forthright about is telling us why this problem happens. The assumption is this is just sprung out of nowhere, that it's some kind of cultural problem or social problem. In fact, it's a problem of government policy. It is created by the government. The more honest fatherhood advocates are silent about it. You have others, politicians mostly, who will tell you that this crisis has come about by fathers abandoning their children in large numbers. There's no evidence at all from social science or anywhere else that this is true, that fathers are abandoning their children in large numbers. There is very concrete evidence that government officials are forcibly removing fathers from their children. Courts, bureaucratic agencies, police officers, sheriff's deputies, sometimes at gunpoint, sometimes with handcuffs, are forcing fathers to stay away from their children. And the government is not telling us this, but this is in fact what's happened. And the government is not denying it either. When I point it out, and while other scholars and journalists point it out, they in fact don't deny that this is happening.
So why is there such a information blackout across the streets of America?
Well, there's a number of reasons. You might want to look at the great English essayist G.K. Chesterton pointed out many years ago in an article on divorce that there's an inherent confrontational relationship between the family and the state. Chesterton pointed out that the family is the most important check on government power, that it creates a private sphere of life that is off-limits to the government. And therefore, the family and the government are sooner or later, Chesterton said, would sooner or later be in confrontation with one another. And that the government sees, consciously or otherwise, that the family is the main limitation, the main rival to its power. And the family member that is the most, the main rival to government power is the father. When the father is removed from the family, the government fills the void. The government becomes the father. The government becomes the husband. The government becomes the protector in some ways. The growth in the last 200 years of police forces, you might argue, had something to do with that. The government, even more recently, the government has become the provider of the family through welfare, through child support enforcement, through a myriad of services to single mothers, also with the private sector services to single mothers. So the father has been made redundant by the government and by, in some cases, private services. So the government has become the father. We speak about the nanny state, but in some ways it's more accurate to speak about the paternal state. And when I say the government, I'm talking about a lot of interests here that have filled the void, that have come to become surrogate fathers. I mean judges, courts, lawyers, forensic psychotherapists, social workers, various kinds of bureaucratic police, like child support enforcement agents and child protective services. They're called social workers, and they don't wear uniforms, but effectively they are police. And these interests have grown up as a result of welfare and as a result of divorce, primarily. And they have enormous power, and the main source of their power is our children.
You mentioned divorce as a factor. How is it that government then has utilized a divorce system to, or has the government utilized a divorce system to increase its power?
Well, divorce is, many of us have not thought about divorce. What's happened in the last 30 years or so with divorce has been a deception. The government brought in, as largely as a result of the sexual revolution of the 60s. Divorce laws were changed beginning about 1969 to allow what in many cases was advertised as being divorce by mutual consent. In other words, two people who decided not to live together any longer could get a divorce by mutual consent. This was the way it was advertised. In fact, it was a deception. What it provided for was divorce on demand, unilateral divorce on demand, so that one party could call in the state and get a divorce over the objections of the other spouse, even when children were involved in property and so forth. So
that
effectively,
no fault is that.
So no fault is the term they used. They borrowed it from auto insurance, of all places. But it really wasn't that. It was unilateral divorce. For one spouse, it's often forced divorce. And what it allows is one spouse to call in the state as an ally to remove the other spouse from the home. Many people have this idea that even unilateral divorce is just, government preventing people from getting divorced, or that one spouse, can't let go and wants to keep living with someone that doesn't want to live with them anymore. It's much more complicated than that. When you think about it, unilateral divorce is the government destroying private life, the government destroying a private home. Divorce, far more than marriage, has to be enforced by the government, or it doesn't work. So it involves inherently throwing people out of their homes, taking away their property, and most serious of all, I think, taking away their children. So it creates a huge vacuum. It effectively is an attack on private life, not just marriage, but an attack on the entire concept of private life. No home is too private now for the government to intervene by waving the flag of divorce or child abuse or child protection or something like that.
Well, that suggests that the conditions of divorce management and government involvement gives government an opportunity to eliminate otherwise protected rights?
Absolutely. It is quite stunning how the entire divorce industry has essentially suspended the concept of due process of law. There's a huge body of federal case law, and case law going back before the foundation of the United States, common law, goes back centuries in England, saying essentially that people's homes are their private lives, that their children are their private affairs, that they have the right to raise their children as they see fit. That the government can't interfere with your home, your property, and your children. And the divorce regime, the divorce industry, has just completely set aside this body of law, these principles that are centuries old. The government can seize your children and use them as a pretext to seize your property, to throw you out of your home, and to virtually run roughshod over the entire Bill of Rights.
Well, Stephen, that is one of the most striking reads I've ever had in looking at what you've written on how essentially each and every element of the Bill of Rights is being violated by family courts, courts which Abe Fortas called kangaroo courts. Now, Abe Fortas was a Supreme Court Justice of the United States who wrote that in 1967. When we get back from our break here, we're going to continue with Dr. Baskerville, Bill, on the issue of fatherhood crisis and its cause. Here at Radio Liberty, the Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show.
young minds are changing. By the time they've rearranged me, they won't even know how to spell integrity. Day, so take your lithium, here's the Prozac, and don't forget your Ritalin. Learn today's lesson well, class, and just say no. No competition, treat them all the same. Each one gets a trophy just for playing the game. Yeah, we're setting the bar real low. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age. About history, about the republic or democracy, and they'll believe the earth was dying, yes siree. Death and magic, indoctrination, peace to Walker, bait in the interrogation. We'd like to learn some more about your friends and your family. Their bodies joining up with a gang, young sociopaths going out with a bang. They won't need a Bill of Rights or a Constitution, 'cause they're being set up just to be knocked down. Classrooms full of convicts and clowns. Here's what your money brought you, so much for the revolution. What they seem, it's the American nightmare, the end of the dream. Kids are being prepared for a world of masters and slaves. 'Cause it's not about education, it's called behavior modification. Collectivist thought at work in the home of play. It's a school day in the USA. It's about this new age.
As a listener of tonight's Freedom 21 Santa Cruz radio show, you have exclusive access to our online audience participation center at freedom21santacruz.net/radio. Here are just some of the value-added features you'll get by logging on while you're tuned in. Get free access to the research and articles that have contributed to tonight's show. See an important multimedia presentation titled The Philosophy of Liberty. Email the host with your comments. Get special discounts on featured books like the ever-popular Pocket Constitution. Register to receive a free subscription to AdvancedBulletin.net, which provides commentary and analysis on a spectrum between liberty and tyranny. So get more. Log on while you're tuned in and advance freedom at freedom21santacruz.net/radio.
Welcome back. We're here with Stephen Baskerville, and we're discussing the family autonomy issue and the question of a fatherhood crisis. And we're going to talk about the Bill of Rights, the bedrock to the glory of freedom in America. And what we're all beginning to see more clearly is that the Bill of Rights is about protecting private property and private family. It's a private life. It's our private liberty. And that's what's at risk every time we find government intervention into our private property issues and into our family issues. And Stephen, welcome back. Thank you for holding there through our breaks at some stations and our own advertisements with others. And let's proceed with that discussion regarding rights and how the family courts are treating unalienable rights.
Well, as I was saying, they are virtually, you could go down the entire Bill of Rights and you would not find a item that is not routinely violated by the family courts. And it sounds extraordinary, but it is. Perhaps the most extraordinary of all is the Fourth Amendment, which some people consider to be one of the most important, against unreasonable searches and seizures, and yet family courts seize people's property without giving any reason. They seize people's children without giving any reason other than saying, well, you're divorced. Even if you didn't agree to the divorce, even if you didn't do anything give any grounds for the divorce. So they just, it's necessity, the tyrant's plea. They say this is necessary to provide for your children, the children that they've confiscated by using the term divorce. So family courts, they'll even tell you that there are some, and sometimes they will tell you that they are courts of equity rather than courts of law. This is a distinction that supposedly doesn't exist anymore, but it's often used as an excuse to say that the Bill of Rights doesn't apply. It's amazing, really. We have cases of courts gagging fathers, gagging reporters, preventing them from reporting what goes on in the courts. This is especially strong in other countries like Britain and Australia, New Zealand, Canada. This has taken place. We have instances of fathers who have spoken out against the family courts being forced to pay the fees of lawyers they haven't hired as punishment and jailed when they cannot pay those fees. It's extraordinary. Some people are calling it actually a reign of terror in these courts. They just operate as if the Bill of Rights doesn't exist.
My. Stephen, we have a caller, Roger Penn. Roger, are you there?
Yes, thanks, John.
You have a question or a comment?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. Would you care to float a question about how this whole child abuse industry, I believe, undermines fatherhood and the very life and limb of the children? I'm thinking along the lines of it, like in Florida alone, there's some 4,000 foster care children, whereabouts unknown. And then even if we assume, I think safely, that the vast majority of foster parents are wholesome folks, there's just such huge numbers that it still works out to, I think it's what, 4 or 5 higher times rates of sexual and other predations than if the same children were kept in less than wholesome households?
That's a very good question. This is just one of the many issues that we do hear about in the news quite frequently without being told how it's connected with the divorce courts, the family courts, and the fatherhood crisis. That's right. There is a huge industry. This is one of the industries surrounding divorce, the child abuse industry, which will tell you that there's this huge, huge crisis of child abuse. Well, there is actually a huge crisis of child abuse, but that also is actually government-created. It's created by courts who separate children from their fathers, for the most part. The social science research is very, very clear on this. The vast majority of child abuse takes place in the homes of single mothers. Now, the child abuse industry doesn't tell you this. They run ads on television with men shown as child abusers. In fact, fathers commit very, very little child abuse. The vast majority, HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, has shown that consistently that about two-thirds of child abusers are mothers, and that the other one-third of child abusers are fathers commit a very tiny amount of it. Many of them are female caretakers or males in the household. What they've recently concentrated on is sexual abuse, because that is committed by men. But sexual abuse is a tiny amount of child abuse, and sexual abuse committed by fathers is a tiny amount of sexual abuse. So it's really extraordinary that they've created this industry. It's almost like the child abusers are throwing fathers out of their home so they can abuse their children with impunity. The safest place for a child is in an intact home with a father present.
Well, that should come as
statistics on that.
That should come as no surprise to anyone across this great land. And the issue seems to be that it's time for dads to face who they are and do what's right, keep control of the family, keep control of freedom, keep control of your life.
As we look out across America in the 21st century, ecological devastation, at least that's what they're telling me. Environmental apocalypse, as sure as the sky is blue. So sustainable development is taking aim at me and you.
While some of our affiliate stations take a commercial break, let me take a few moments to tell the rest of you a bit about Freedom 21 Santa Cruz. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz is a freedom policy center that celebrates the principles of self-governance and individual liberty which inspired the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. It's a group of individuals who advance the freedom of all by promoting and strengthening the practice of constitutional administration in local, state, and national government. The Freedom 21 Santa Cruz mission is to advance the principles of freedom to individuals, community, and government through public discourse, community outreach, and grassroots education programs. Freedom 21 Santa Cruz participants include people from all political parties, religions, races, and backgrounds who are united in the pursuit of individual liberty and the protection of our U.S. constitutional republic. Objectives of Freedom 21 Santa Cruz and its participants include the following. Focus public attention on the value of the freedoms guaranteed to Americans by the Constitution of the United States of America, and encourage individual and community interest in protecting those freedoms. Provide opportunities for political discourse among organization membership and the community. Promote and strengthen government responsiveness to the principles of freedom. Educate the public about local, national, and international threats to individual freedom and the U.S. Constitutional Republic. Invite Americans to unite against the advance of international collectivist movements that cause poverty, oppression, and a degraded earth. And to create a model for successfully promoting and ensuring U.S. constitutional government in a local community. To find out how you can donate to or participate in Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, please log on to freedom21santacruz.net or call 831-684-2232.
Keep alive the principles of individual liberty and advance the cause of freedom in the 21st century. Hey, hey, hey. E-I-E-I-O.
Welcome back. We're here with Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.